Infernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year's to all. As always, Thursday nights, new content drops. Tonight's episode, we welcome one-third of the new power trio Heroes and Monsters. We have Todd Kearns, the bassist and vocalist of this band. Now, Todd, he's been playing with Slash and Miles Kennedy for like the last 15 years. He's worked with Bruce Kulick on Bruce's solo stuff and a whole resume of other acts. This new band is joined by other rock and roll lifers and friends, guitarist Steph Burns. Steph has worked with Y&T and Alice Cooper, and drummer Will Hunt, who currently drums for Evanescence. He's worked with Black Label Society and Stained. Well, their debut new album comes out tomorrow, January 20th. So Metal Walt and I had a chance to speak with him. We talked to him about how the band got together. You know, these guys, they're just lifers. They work with everyone. It's a cool discussion. Before I bring Walt out, though, I just want to remind you to get up to our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Now, join our community by, when I say that, I mean, fill out the newsletter. That way, you get a weekly update whenever we have new radio shows, new podcasts. We have weekly CD reviews from Mark Zagatti. He joined our staff. Last week, he did a review for this band, Celestial Wizard. This week, King Kraken reviews. Now, these are bands that fly under the radar, but, you know, we're always trying to expose both ourselves and you, our audience, to some of this other stuff that's out there. So check that out. Recent podcasts, we had a two-parter with Jason McMaster. We had Tim Ripper Owens at the holidays. And then we have our other 140-plus episodes. So go there, download, subscribe, review, all that stuff. It really does help. Let's welcome my brother in metal, Metal Walt from New Jersey. So today's feature interview, Todd Kearns, Heroes and Monsters. What'd you think?
It's kind of like when we talked to Jason McMaster last month, and we had a little bit of an agenda, and then we didn't, and we just started talking like a couple guys in a room in a garage blasting some music. And he was just like, you know, we talked about the new album, the new band, Heroes and Monsters, but it just got into fandom and all the other stuff he does and all the things we like. Just a cool regular old guy that we could all relate to.
All right, well said. So let's get into this. For Metal Walt, I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC. Our guest today is Todd Kearns, a diverse and multi-talented rock and roll musician. Todd's been at the helm for decades now. He's best known as the bassist for the Slash and the Conspirators band, as well as frontman for former Kiss guitarist Bruce Kulick's solo outfit. But today we're here to talk to Todd about his new trio, Heroes and Monsters. Their self-debut album drops tomorrow, January 20th. Todd, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Good to be here. Good to be here. How are you?
We're doing well. I go by the Vernomatic. I'm up here in Rochester. My co-host goes by the name Metal Walt. He's down in New Jersey. Say hello to Walt.
And I'm in Las Vegas. So avoiding the weather, I suppose. Walt, are you okay over there?
We're okay. Verno's where it got bad up there. He gets the Buffalo weather. I get the it was 68 degrees yesterday. I had shorts on. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Listen, let the record be set. Buffalo has over 100 inches of snow. Up here in Rochester, we have had 9 inches this year.
Wow.
So we're 60 minutes down Interstate 90, but we might as well be galaxies apart in, when it comes to snowfall. So
poor Buffalo. That sucks. Man, oh, man.
Yeah, I know. But at least everyone, it's over with for now, and they got out of it.
And then they got Hamlin. Yeah. Now that's that whole thing. What a trip, man. That, what?
Oh, yeah. Buffalo. Yeah. Yeah. Damar Hamlin. Yeah. But he pulled out of it. We're getting reports. Yeah. Big football fan, Todd?
I'm Canadian, so we never had, we have football, but it's Canadian football, but it's like, so it's like, it's been a newly acquired interest that I kind of like, we got the Raiders now out here, which is interesting.
Yep.
That's a whole other conversation, but I still haven't been to a game yet, but I go to the Knights all the time. The Golden Knights, but that's hockey. That's a given.
Well, you stole my question for later, Todd. I was going to say, being a Canadian guy, who's your team? I'm a big Islander fan, but I guess you're transplanted Canadian following the Knights.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we are all very excited to have a team here and did everything we could to make sure that was going to stay forever. And it definitely looks like that's the case, because the team is, well, whether they perform or not, the games are such a blast here that we love them to death.
That's awesome. Well, Todd, hey, we want to get into the new album. Really, congratulations on the new band, Heroes and Monsters.
Thank you so much.
And it totally kicks ass. And I say that, you know, with all sincerity. I think this is going to be a 2023 highlight for us, and hopefully it does well for you.
Great.
The same. But before we get into it, I got to know something. Why are you called Todd Dammit Kearns?
Nah, it's funny. Todd Dammit rhymes with God Dammit. So that was kind of the nickname when I was younger. And then there's a punk rock aspect of Johnny Rotten and all those kind of things where you stick a name like that in there. When I came to Vegas, it was fun because for me, it was like no one cared what I had done in Canada. I was like, you know, I got gold records in Canada, but no one knew who the hell I was when I came to the States. So as a gag, I would just introduce myself as Todd Dammit, and that became a thing. Vinnie Paul from Pantera was a good friend of ours, and he would just scream Todd Dammit across casinos, and I'd be like, oh, Vinny's here. And then Slash started introducing me as that, and that really kind of cemented it. Really, it was always kind of just like a laugh, and then there's the t-shirts, and it's a whole thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned, you're a Canadian by nature, but you live out in Vegas. Talk about the scene out there. I mean, we hear about it all the time in all kinds of forms. Like, that's like the new hotbed of like rock and metal. What's it like out there now for the scene?
Well, it is interesting because even since I've been here, it's slowly become more and more of a, a lot of the LA hang has come out here. It's either here or Nashville, I find that everybody mm-hmm. seems to be going. But I think for those of us who still treat LA as a place of business and a place of, I consider it a distant suburb of Los Angeles. But it was much more affordable and the big thing for me, and I bring it up all the time, is being able to facilitate all these different casinos with showrooms. And every time I walk into a casino, I think there's a guy playing piano over there and a guy playing acoustic guitar over there. There's a showroom where there's a disco band playing. And so all the musicians and the Blue Man Group and all these different things that there are musicians working all over town. And I think that's awesome to be able to be in a place where, you know, a person can make a living playing piano or guitar and have a house and put their kids through school and have a life. But as a musician.
Sure. It's a great place to be. Hopefully I'll get out there again someday and catch some of the music out there. But again, definitely want to get into the new release now. So congratulations again on it. This is a real power trio, the way I see it. And it was really interesting in the notes to see the musicians that you brought along to play with you on this. Steph Burns is a guy that I went, oh my God, I haven't thought about Steph in a long time. YNT, Contagious. You know, I think the last time I saw him, he was playing with Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper on the Hey Stupid tour. And then you have Will Hunt from Evanescence. But just in general, how did you get together with these guys to put this collaboration together?
Well, Will, I've known, so he reached out to me and was like, hey, I'm knocking some ideas around with a friend of mine. I go, send the music over. Let's do this. So he sent it over, and the first song was a song called Locked and Loaded, and it came together really quickly, and then another one and another one and another one, and the next thing you know, you're making a record, you know? Like I say, initially there was no, I mean, if it had not gone well, it just would have went away, you know? Like if it had just been kind of like, eh. You know, that was cool. It would have just sort of fallen by the wayside. But it started to come together, and then it turned into what it is. You know, I think that that's the exciting thing about the organic aspect of doing this. Cause I honestly didn't need another project thrown in my lap, but I was like, yeah, that sounds like fun. Let's do it.
Todd, was this a virtual recording?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was completely remote. Like I'd only entertained one other project like that. Prior to that, I'd done a record called Minefield with two friends of mine from Ace Frehley's band. And we did that. We just kind of made a record like completely. It was also during COVID. And that was really fun. And then with this, it was very much the same thing. So by that point, I felt quite confident that we could do it, because working with Slash loves to be in the room together.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a studio and make a record. And that's the preference no matter what, you know. But that said, it was sort of, Steph's in Milan, Italy, and Will's in Florida, Orlando or something. I'm here in Vegas. So it's kind of like, there's no reason why here in the 21st century we can't do this. So that was just basically the idea, writing, sending ideas around, recording, and all that stuff can be done completely independent of one another.
So, hey, back to the release. Again, the press notes kind of, they bait you and they say, you know, you hear the influence of the guys on this, yet it has a, you know, kind of a modern feel. When I dug deep in there and I heard your singing, my brain immediately said, oh my God, I hear Freddie Mercury and I hear Dennis DeYoung. Yeah. Talk about how you guys put this stuff together. What was your inspiration, or what did you set out to do in writing this album?
I've been thinking about that very thing, because it's often, you know, kind of going into things with a game plan. That game plan always changes depending on how things kind of roll along. And the sound of the band, like you can kind of have like an idea of like, we should do this kind of a thing. And often as you're doing it and writing it and putting it together, it can kind of become its own thing. And I think that's very much what happened with this. I think it just sort of, we didn't really kind of go into it with too many preconceived ideas of like, we definitely had ideas of what we like. I mean, there's going to be collectively what we like, and then there's individually what we like. And everybody brings their own, you know, their own dish to the potluck, as it were, you know, and sort of like, and you kind of like serve it up. And this really kind of grew into what it is in its own way, you know. And I think that that's kind of the beauty of something like this, is it kind of really becomes its own thing. Like it's like with this, it's like Heroes and Monsters didn't exist, you know, in 2022 and 2021, let's say. And then all of a sudden it exists, you know. And then wow, it's just cool to see that there's these songs and this sound out there.
What's the name of the band about? And about the album cover, we always like to talk about the album cover, because we're old school guys. I think we're all in the same age range. We like to look at the product.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, we look at it. It's got that imagery, you know, the clouds looming. There's somebody standing in a cornfield. What's the image and the name of the band? Talk about it.
Image-wise, I just liked that image. It was a photograph that they showed me, and I was like, I mean, we looked at a number of different things, but there was something really cool about that sort of, you know, the moodiness of the image and the sort of, in a weird way, hopefulness and the power of the lightning and all that kind of stuff. But the name, I think, to me, sort of represented in a way like that weird thing of how we have, you know, that guy's my hero, but to somebody else, that guy's a monster. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, and that can mean not just like a person. It can mean the internet. It can mean, you know, how it's a wonderful thing. It's a terrible thing. You know, it's like, and how all those things kind of like are one and the same, and how we have to kind of like live with all of that all at once. So that's kind of my take on it anyway, is just sort of like the good and bad version of, and it's all the same thing, just depending on who's calling the shots in that particular moment.
Yeah. Todd, I want to comment on a little block of songs. We'll go in the middle of the album. The tracks Angels Never Sleep into I Knew You Were the Devil. It's sort of like a yin and a yang, two different types of songs. We always love a great album that sequences well. And by the time you get to these tracks, I think they're like five or six in the lineup. Tell us a little bit about these songs, because that first one, Angels Never Sleep, what are my notes? This one builds slowly, some nice acoustic work before the heaviness kicks in.
Right.
And so comment on these tracks.
Well, that's the coolest thing about those kind of songs to me, is that sort of, you know, kind of a little bit of a a November rain kind of thing where it sort of starts one way and kind of goes another. You know, I mean, like, I suppose that Stairway to Heaven would probably be a better example in the bigger picture. Although that one sort of, it gets heavy pretty fast. It's not like that kind of thing. But there's a moodiness to that song that's sort of big and brash and epic and at least attempting to be as much as possible. So that one definitely is sort of the first lean into that kind of like ambitious sort of arrangement. Devil is super in your face rock and roll song, you know what I mean? Which, to be honest, I suppose is sort of my natural go-to, is always the kind of like, yeah, this song whoops ass. Let's play this one as loud as possible. But I think it's important to have those kind of, you know, lights and shades and ups and downs within the course of a recording, because it's weird to have a record that's 10 songs that are exactly the same song or same version of different versions of the same song. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I think, you know, it was very cheekily on purpose that there was an angel and a devil song next to each other.
Well, those are the devil song. That one's got balls all the way. But, you know, Todd, my observation of those two songs specifically, I was listening in on Steph's guitar playing, and there's a lot of contrast in his playing. You know, you get his ripping, shredding, melodic guitar solos that we know him for from back in the day. But then there's also sort of the down-tune riffing that's apparent in most of the songs. You hear it on the opening track. You hear it on most of the tracks.
Yeah.
You know, what was his approach coming in with his work?
He's such a monster player. I totally understand why he's had so many diverse gigs. You know what I mean? Like, and something like Heroes and Monsters really only shows probably 10% of what he can actually do. Do you know what I mean? As a musician. But he is one of those players that, in very much sort of defines the sound of the band, like you were saying with the down picking kind of thing. That is a very big part of the sound of the group. But he is a monster player. I really hope he gets, you know, even more recognition just by people checking out this record.
It's great playing. And again, it reminded me of that. Wow, I haven't thought of him in such a long time. I want to grab a couple songs that are my favorites. And you talked a little bit of Locked and Loaded. That one kind of sets the tone for the album. But then Raw Power and Let's Ride It, these are two of my favorites. Here's my notes on them. Raw Power showcases that down-tune riffing, but the strength is in the vocals. The range is in the harmonies, killer guitar solo, and a really, really strong and catchy chorus, the Raw Power chorus.
Yeah.
And then Let It Ride is like, this is, to me, one of the two highlights on the album, for me at least. It's got the vocals are amazing. It's a real party-type song, super melodic, catchy. And again, I hear that vintage Freddie Mercury in there. So whatever you look to do there was well accomplished. So talk about those two.
Well, thank you. I think a lot of your references are pretty bang on. I think that, you know, stuff like, you know, Vintage Queen and Cheap Trick and some Sweet, you know, in stuff like Let's Ride It, I think is definitely on purpose with a big gang vocal chorus. And it's just a good time. That song's a really great, fun, big song. It's in its own way sort of represents much of what the three of us are very much into. And then something like Raw Power is that sort of like, you know, the gloves are off, we're coming out swinging and lock up your children.
It's definitely good. And another one that later in the album, I think that ties in here. And this is one, I don't know if you ever plan on getting this unit out on the road, but Set Me Free, man. That one is just highlight number one track for me. I mean, it's got the musicianship. It shows your chops. There's jamming. There's improv in there. That one would be totally killer live. It's got that fast pace to it. And even a song like Break Me, I'm Yours, like I hear like a little simple riffing, like an AC/DC going on there. Just really, really cool rockers. Vern, you've listened to the album. What's your take on these?
Oh, I agree. And I see the Queen too. There's just something about it.
Right.
I like the subtleness, like the last track, And You'll Remain. A great closer. The acoustic buildup has a bit of a march to it.
It's one of those songs that we had a tough time figuring where to place it because it felt like, for lack of better words, you know, that kind of like, you know, I hate using words like important because it seems like super pretentious, but it felt like in terms of what we were doing musically and what we were doing, like It felt like something that should be have its own moment. So having it at the end of the record felt like maybe the closing credits of a film or something, you know, the closing credits of our film that we just, you know, you made you listen to. So, but yeah, I think that that's, again, that's important to have those sort of hills and valleys and peaks and valleys of how music should be really heavy or sometimes a little on the, you know, intimate and delicate side. And that, that song is definitely one of those needs to be kind of heard kind of songs.
Now, yeah, totally. Walt quickly mentioned something about touring.
Yeah, we are going out for a few weeks in February to Italy. We're going to do a run of some cool stuff over there, which I'm really excited. I haven't been overseas since 2019. So for me, it's time. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, again, talking about resumes, it's like, you know, then you've got to deal with Will's going off to Evanescence and we all have other stuff going on. So that in itself turns it into trying to find another window where we could be able to do something like that. I mean, this kind of stuff comes up. I mean, when you talk about Frontiers, they often put together a grouping of guys that make a record that have no intention of touring. You know, they'll just make a record and it's awesome, but it's just not likely that it's ever going to tour. But we always intended that we would like to be able to take this thing out and do something with it. Do you know what I mean? And then that way, but at the same time, it's so difficult with all of our schedules. And I think that, you know, those schedules existed before there was COVID. So, and then when the COVID went away or when the lockdown went away, those schedules still exist. So now it's a case of like, we're putting out this music. We're proud of this music. We hope you enjoy this music. And we're going to try and make, you know, make it all work one way or another, hopefully at a club near you. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, it is a great release, Todd. We really love it. As we said, we want to be mindful of the time and we want to get into a little bit about the other parts of your career, a little heavy metal history. John, I think you have some a listener question.
Yeah, Kale Jammer, formerly of Rochester, spent 30 years in Henderson, Nevada.
Ah, of course, yeah.
When I mentioned we were doing this, he got all excited and he's a big Golden Knight fan himself. So sure. Maybe you guys have bumped into each other at games.
Probably.
Kale Jammer asks, ask him about the Bruce Kulick New Year's Eve event, wondering how many people pony up the dough to go to that. Comment on the Bruce Kulick whole experience, the New Year's Eve event and all.
Yeah, we just had that this New Year's. So it was meant to be held as a intimate kind of hang. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot to do with the business. I was just asked to play 2 days and yeah. one acoustic show and one electric show. And I was like, hell yeah, sounds like fun. And it was, we had a blast. It was, Bruce held it as like a 2 day, maybe even a 3 day type thing event where people came in and they hung out. Mm-hmm. They went to Kiss mini golf. They had dinner together. They, we did a roast, Don Jameson from Jersey.
Yep.
From that metal show came and hosted a roast we did of Bruce. And then we got up and we did an acoustic show on the first night, which was really fun getting to do, you know, some of that, you know, I was going to say more acoustic stuff, but we do like a lot of stuff that wasn't originally presented as acoustic in acoustic form. And then we did the electric night the next night. So that was really fun. I mean, that whole Bruce thing has been a real gift. Bruce and Bob, you know, when they asked me to do that thing back in 2017, it really opened a whole door of opportunity that I did not expect to be in my life. And now here it is. Now I'm like, not only am I on a branch of the Guns N' Roses tree, it's the branch, that branch is called Slash, and I'm a tiny twig off that. Yeah. And then there's the branch of the Kiss tree, a tiny twig off the Bruce Kulick branch. So that whole world has presented a whole new thing for me that I did not expect, and it's been nothing but a gift.
Todd, it's got to be killer, because, I mean, I'm 52. My first car, 76 Buick Skylark, 1987-88. I had three cassettes I played those years. One was Crazy Nights. The other one was Vinnie Vincent's Invasions, All Systems Go. And the other one was Freely's Comets debut.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I fucking burnt those cassettes out, man. Every time I see that these shows go down in Vegas, I'm like, God damn it. Why can't Bruce get over here to Jersey and do one? And check this out. I'm friends with one of the guys from the Grand Funk Railroad camp, and he's friends with Bruce. He connected me with Bruce. We almost got him on the show last year, but he was preparing for that whole Creatures Fest.
Right.
I was like, but this is something I got to see this at some point. If he can't bring it here, we got to go to Vegas, John. So you got to tell Bruce. East Coast.
I know. We keep trying to get it anywhere else. Like we do the Kiss Cruise or we do Vegas because we're all in Vegas. So, yeah. But we keep threatening to try and get it out. But again, it's another thing with scheduling with Grand Funk and yeah. Zach plays with Ace Frehley and Corey Taylor. And then me and Fitz play with Slash and everything else that we got going on. So it's one of those things, but it has been a blast, honestly. Like the first time I saw Kiss was Animalize. So Bruce was the guitar player. And, you know, it's one of those things, like, I can't believe I play in a band with this guy. It's so weird.
But and his wife, we learned through COVID that his wife has like a pancake recipe business. And I ended up communicating online with her. And I'm like, wait, I'm trying to get Bruce on the conversation to talk Kiss. And here I am talking about pancakes. So hopefully at some point, hopefully at some point you were over his house and maybe his wife cooked for you.
Oh yeah, that happens all the time. That's even awesome. Bruce is a pretty good damn cook himself, actually. Yeah.
Let me ask you, what's your favorite songs to play from Revenge or Hot in the Shade?
You know what's so funny is it's like it's actually the ones that you least expect. I remember like Bruce was really pushing for Turn on the Night from Crazy Nights, and I was like, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. But then you play it and like. It's something about scaling away the production of those keyboards and the stuff from those records. When you start playing it as a rock band, you go like, this is a whole other experience. And a lot of the experience is actually witnessing the reaction of the people as you're playing these songs. That's what's the big deal. Because there's songs that I love to play and there's songs that I enjoy playing more than other songs. But when people freak out to Little Caesar, the song that Eric sang, you know, we do that. And that kind of stuff. It's like stuff that they go, I would never have expected seeing this played in a live context. So when they do, it's just a big deal. So that said, there's, you know, so many songs. I mean, I was a fan all the way through. I was not one of those guys that was like, I'm done. I was there like from, you know, Lick It Up into Animalize Asylum and on. And I was just, you know, and then they put the makeup back on and I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, I got all Kiss guitars to prove it.
Yeah. That, you know, that run of Creatures, Animalize, totally. Lick it up.
Totally.
Crazy Nights got a little colorful, if you will.
Of course. Yeah.
But, you know, Mark St. John era. You mentioned you saw Animalize. Who opened for him when you had a chance to see him?
Dokken. And it was funny because on this most recent Kiss cruise, I'm standing side stage with Paul Stanley, which is weird enough.
Yeah.
And I look at Paul and I go, you know, the weird thing was the first time I ever saw you guys, these guys were opening. He goes, huh. You're just kind of like, whatever. Yeah. But that's like, it was a moment of like, what a big deal that was to me. Like, you know, getting to see Dokken, let alone Kiss, was a big deal.
Yeah, I saw him with Queensryche.
Yeah, Queensryche was a big chunk of the tour, but we were just before Queensryche joined the tour. We was on Tooth and Nail, Dokken.
Yep.
Who I loved at the time. You know, I still have a great deal of respect for those guys.
Well, Todd, a couple more things before we let you go. I mean, we talked about your Slash. I can say I'm a big fan of Slash and Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. And I was looking at the timeline. I think the band's been together 12, 15 years already. I was looking at my list of shows. I've seen you guys 4 times in the tri-state area.
Wow.
Really, really love it. And I can't say I'm like the biggest GNR junkie, but somehow the way you guys delivered those songs along with the regular catalog was just totally killer. And talk about that period. And I think it was one thing I wanted to ask you specifically was, I believe on a couple of the tours, did you sing the song Dr. Alibi, the Lemmy song?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. I've always been singing that one. So it'll be 13 years this March that we've been playing together, so which is surreal. I mean, but I say that, but it will be, wow, it'll be 15 years that since, it'll be 2010, so 13 years. Oh my gosh, my brain. Yeah, 13 years I've been playing with Slash and 11 years of the Conspirators. So that's basically how that works. I've sort of been singing a little piece of the show since the beginning, like a little this, little that. So they've had me sing Guns N' Roses songs. They've had me sing all kinds of stuff. So yeah, it's a fun thing. Like everything else, it's getting harder and harder to kind of find a moment to do the goddamn thing. But we did a record at the top of 2022. That was a blast that came out. We did a quick run on that before everybody else got busy with everything else we were doing. So, we're just trying to find a moment now to get it back on the same track. you know, it's not easy. No, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I have one last question. Pay homage to your Canadian roots. You have the Age of Electric and Toque. Is that how you pronounce the
Hook? Actually, Hook. You're close. Yeah.
Yeah. What is a
French word?
A toque.
A toque is. Yeah, it's basically a beanie like the South Park kids wear with the pom pom on top. They call that a toque. It's a French word for that kind of hat, I guess. And for Canadians, just call it's like if you said a toque to a Canadian, they know exactly what you're talking about. But it's a very specifically Canadian word. Yeah.
But the question is, how deep do you go into Canadian metal? Anvil, Exciter, Killer Dwarfs. What about Sword?
I remember Sword. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Those guys are great.
They just released a new one.
Did they?
Sword 3, Rick Hughes, and all the guys. We had them on the show at the end of the year. And
wow. Fantastic. Those guys are great. Old school, like real true metal. Yeah, I love that.
And the fun thing with Sword 3 that just came out, it's all the stuff from Metalized and the follow-up that the AOR guy at the time said wasn't good enough.
Oh,
so,
love it.
Yeah, they brought it back out and polished it up. So
that's the most rock and roll thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. So I'll let Walt finish this up. Hey, Todd, thanks a lot. I learned a lot. It was like I was a listener, you guys. But best of luck, and we'll run into you in the future for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, Todd, it's been our pleasure. One last thing, your time to shamelessly promote anything you want aside from this new album, new band. What else is in store for you in 2023? Where can we find all about your activities?
Oh, come find me on the social media, Todd Kearns, everywhere except Twitter, Todd, damn it, Kearns. The what else? Heroes and Monsters Band, go to Frontiers, find us there. Tracy Guns and I wrote a record during COVID. That's coming out towards the end of 23. So it's fucking great, frankly. I think it's one of my favorite things I've ever been a part of. And so just lots going on. Tuca's got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. It's going to be a crazy year.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. And we're going to get the word out on this new album. And, we'll hope to talk to you again down the line, get you back on the show at some point.
Please, I'd love to. We'll get on, hang longer, talk about deep shit.
Yeah. Oh, we go deep.
I love it.
That sounds good.
Awesome, guys. All right. Happy 2023. Have a great one.
You too.
Yeah, you too. Happy 2023. See you, Todd. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Take off. Hey.
Metal for Life. Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.